for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday afternoon service of November the 30th, 1996, of the Thanksgiving camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Knoll is the speaker for the afternoon.
15 years ago, I came down here because I had some problems that were controlling me that I couldn't get rid of. And I'd stand, and a brother in the Lord, an old seer in the Spirit named Joe Williams, suggested that I come down here. I arrived on Labor Day 15 years ago at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I left Salina, Kansas around 6 o'clock at night. I didn't think it was really that far. Maybe it was 4 in the afternoon. I can't remember. It was late in the afternoon. And I'll always remember there were about 15 dogs that met me out there. You know, every time I tell it, they get more dogs. But there was this large group of dogs barking at me, and I was singing in the name of Jesus, be quiet, be quiet. It was drizzling rain. This building, we had this room, and this room was complete, and the rest of it was still in the process of being built. And I set up my cot and my sleeping bag under the stairs out there going up to the second story. And I set up a cot there in the drizzling rain under those stairs and got in bed. And Daniel came down and said, my granddaddy said for you to come up to the dormitory. And I said, no. I said, I'm in bed now. I'm asleep. You going back to bed. Granddaddy's going to be upset in the morning. So the next morning I woke up and Mrs. Zelda was looking at me, and it was about 6:30 in the morning. She was coming to cook breakfast. And if you've ever tried to put on your clothes in a sleeping bag, you hadn't lived. That just haven't lived. I had this mummy bag, and I was trying to put my clothes on in that mummy bag. That was an experience I'll always remember. And God was very good to me, though. God set me free. Third row, second seat, set over, right over there. I remember it just as well. And I've been here for 3 days and nothing had happened, or at least I didn't feel like anything had happened. And I went up and I complained to the man who was leading the services. And he said, well, maybe the day will be your day. And he got up and he said, I've got this list of spirits God wants me to pray for today. He had my list. And he called out the first spirit, and it threw me on the floor, and I vomited. And I felt a little bit better, and I was trying to get up, and he called out another one, and I just sort of rolled over in it, you know. And it was, but you know, it looked rather undignified. But I'm going to tell you, I got free. I got my dignity back. I got my dignity back. I let the demons go. And I say to all of you, that if you've got a choice to make as to whether you want to keep your dignity or your demons, let your dignity go. You can get it back. You can get it back. Let your demons go. That's my advice to you, to let your demons go. When we start the mass deliverance portion, just say, Lord, whatever's in there that's not of you, I want it out. And let it go. Just let happens what happens. And God, the Holy Spirit, remember that the Holy Spirit's a gentleman, that He will not embarrass you, that He will not hurt you. He wants to heal you and deliver you. You know, let's all stand up and pray first. I'm sorry that Lord Jesus, we just come before You now, Lord. We come before You, Lord God, and we thank You and we praise You and we bless You and we glorify You. For You're a great and a mighty God and a glorious God. Lord, we come before You, Lord, that we might glorify You, Lord, that we might be obedient to You, Lord, that we might bear fruit to You, Lord, that Your name might be glorified. Lord, Anoint this word as it goes forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Anoint it, Lord, that it goes down into the Spirit and gives revelation and understanding, Lord God, that we will come closer to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. For you, Lord, you are the source of all wisdom and understanding, Lord God. Only you, Lord God, can touch our spirits, Lord. Touch us this day, Lord. Enlighten us this day, Lord God. Give us revelation, Lord, and grant us the spirit of repentance, Lord, that we might turn from anything that binds us, that interferes with our serving you, Lord God. For we are here, Lord, that we might come closer to you, Lord, and be obedient to you, Lord, and bear fruit to you, Lord, that your name might be glorified. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Today we're going to talk about witchcraft. Now, witchcraft is a tremendous subject, and I can talk about witchcraft for hours and hours. And we're going to cover one small part, but first, I want to give you a definition. And we'll start with magic. What is magic? Webster's New World Dictionary defines magic as the use of charms, spells, and rituals in seeking to control people, to cause or control events, or govern certain natural or supernatural forces. That's magic. Most people, when they think of magic, think of the sleight of hand show. Now, I'm talking about something different from that. I'm talking about supernatural forces, things that you cannot explain. It is recorded in the Word of God. Let's look at Nahum. Nahum chapter 3. Now, Nahum is a very small, let's over him by Habakkuk. Right before Habakkuk, right after Micah, is Nahum. Nahum chapter 3. Verse 4. Now, I have to say this about magic. Magic is according to Webster's dictionary, magic is divided into three parts. First is sorcery. And sorcery implies magic in which spells are cast and charms are used. Also drugs, potions, and music, and talismans. To use to acquire the... Now, a talisman is, if you look up talisman, it's something such as a ring or stone bearing an engraved figure or symbol that's supposed to bring good luck, keep away evil. Now, lots of people, I used to have this big round silver thing on my keychain that had the picture of a man with a staff on it that was supposed to protect me when I traveled. Now, that's a talisman. And I also had attached to it a rabbit foot. Now, that's a talisman. That's something that you depend on to bring good luck. Oh, what is luck? Luck is the Egyptian god of good fortune. Did you know that when you said good luck to someone, that you were invoking the name of a heathen god? Well, I say the Lord bless you.
Amen.
Sometimes I slip, though, and I have to repent and ask God's forgiveness for invoking the name of a heathen deity over some poor person. Okay? The other division is witchcraft. I have to be very careful because if I get away from this, we'll be here at 7 o'clock and I won't ever get to witchcraft in the church. The other division is witchcraft for women, wizardry for men, which implies the possession of supernatural power by compact with demons, evil spirits, using curses and rituals. These are not my definitions. These are the definitions out of Webster's New International Dictionary. The other use of of magic is to obtain supernatural knowledge, which is known as divination. We won't touch that today, but that's use of the Ouija board. That's ESP, extrasensory perception, precognition. And you don't know what precognition is? Precognition is knowing something in the future. Like the mailman goes by and puts a some mail out and you say, there's a letter from Grandma Moses in the box down there. Now, Grandma Moses writes and the letter's delivered every Friday, and it's Friday, then that's probably not precognition. But if you ain't heard from Grandma Moses in 6 months, and you say, Grandma Moses, a letter down there. And you go down, and there sure is. I remember once we were here, and some people came over and asked us to pray, come over and pray for someone in someone's house, and we, several of us left and went over there, and there was a gentleman over there who was, he'd been using witchcraft, and he didn't really want prayer. His friends wanted prayer for him, but he didn't want prayer. And so he stood while we prayed a little bit, you know, and then he said, I don't want you praying for me. And about that time he said, Jenny, you want it on the phone? Phone rang for Jenny. That's precognition. He's called it out before the phone rang. Not only that the phone was going to ring, but who it was for. That's precognition. That is divination. That's wisdom being imparted by a demonic spirit to him. You see this in stage a lot. There are all kinds of crooks that don't really have a familiar spirit to do this sort of thing. And they get up on the stage and they have little hearing aids and other little things. But this actually occurs. Now let's look at Nahum. Nahum says, chapter 3, verse 4, because of the multitude of your harlotries, of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries. Now this Nahum is a prophecy against Assyria. And says she's the mistress of sorceries who sells nations through her harlotries and families through her sorceries. I mean, the Assyrians, 3,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, had developed witchcraft and sorcery to such a point that they were able to win wars because of their sorcery. The Babylonians developed this power also. And we see this in Ezekiel. Let's turn over to Ezekiel. And it's Ezekiel chapter 10, I think, or 21, I'm sorry. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 21. And here we start with verse 18, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, Son of man, appoint for yourself two ways for the sword of the king of Babylon to go. Both of them shall go from the same land. Make a sign, put it on the head of the road. Appoint a road for the sword to go to Rabbath of the Ammonites and to Judah into the fortified Jerusalem. For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the fork of the road, of the two roads, to use divination. There he's using magic. He shakes the arrows. He consults the images. He looks at the livers. There we find Nebuchadnezzar was standing at the fork of the road deciding whether to go to Jerusalem or to Ammon. And so he shakes the arrows, which are like the Shishan sticks, and throws them on the ground. And the shaman looks at the pattern and interprets it for the use of a familiar spirit. He slays an animal and pulls it open and looks at the liver and the intestine. And he consults the idols. And then he receives a revelation he's to go to Jerusalem. And we all know that Jerusalem fell. This is the way they conducted their wars. They also conducted medicine that way. I won't get into that. But magic works. Here it is in the Word of God. That supernatural, the use of supernatural, of evil supernatural powers to bring things to pass. Today we're going to look, I want you all, my pastor was speaking last week in our home church on the gifts of the Spirit. And he was speaking on the gift of revelation of good and evil spirits. And he talked to the people about visions, of open visions occurring and seeing things. He talked to them about seeing angels. He talked to them about seeing evil spirits. And when he got through, he said, did anybody want to comment? And I said, may I speak? And I asked the people to turn to 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at this. 1 John chapter 4. And here you see it says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. That was written 2,000 years ago, almost. And he said that spirit was already in the world. He says, test the spirits. And he's given you a formula. I hear people say, ask the Spirit, say Jesus is Lord. Well, religious spirits will sit there and say Jesus is Lord. The Bible says that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. It does not say that an evil spirit cannot confess that. Here it says that evil spirits will not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They will not confess that. That's what the Word says. And so I told them that in his writings, St. Augustine records that after a long and faithful life in the monastery working, an old saint of God, he had never had an open vision. He'd never had a supernatural manifestation to occur in his life. And while he was standing there one day at his writing table, a beautiful angel materialized in the room with him. And he described it. Magnificent. And he looked at it. And the first thing he said was, confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And the angel drew itself up in its pride and said, how dare you challenge me? And begin to tell him that he was a mighty angel who stood in the presence of God. And he said, you acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Oh, I bind you and you be gone. And slowly the angel's face began to contort. And a haughty look of hate came on his face. And he was gone. It was an evil angel. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Let's look at that. Chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 13. For such as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. For no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose work will be according to their works. You mean to tell me that there are people in churches who speak in tongues and who give prophecies and have words of knowledge and can lay hands on folks and heal them? A false apostle. Have a bad spirit in them? Yes. Does not the Word say that in Revelation, they will come with many lying wonders? Here they are. They are false apostles. So, you test the spirits. But these aren't spirits. These are people. And you ask them to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and they will confess it because they are not a spirit. They are a person. And their soul will speak forth. And they will speak in the spirit of this world, not in the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And so you need to test them another way. Now, I wanted to show you first in the Old Testament, let's look back in Ezekiel chapter 13 at some people who were folks that were prophesying and had a ministry. Look at Ezekiel 13, chapter 17. I mean, verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 17. And let's read what it says. Likewise, son of man, Set your faces against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart. Prophesy against them. And say, thus says the Lord God, woe to thee, and women is added by the translators, who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of the people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? Will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and pieces of bread, killing people who should not die, and keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to your lies? You see, here they are. They are prophesying to God's people, and they're calling some of them to die and some of those to live. They're healing. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like flying things. That's not really a bird that flies through the air. It's a familiar spirit. The word is used elsewhere, and it's always translated, it's translated bird, but it literally means a flying thing. It's translated in in Ecclesiastes, when it says the bird of the air will tell the matter. Now, there's a perfectly good Hebrew word for bird, and that's not it. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand, for they shall no longer be prey in your hand, then you shall know I am the Lord. But because of your lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. See? You strengthen the hands of the wicked, so he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Therefore you shall no longer envision fertility nor practice divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you will know that I am the Lord. Here we have false prophets who are coming in and praying and prophesying over God's people and talking to them. I've seen this happen. I'll always remember about 10 or 12 years ago, I got a call from my pastor, and he asked me if I would please come down. They had a group called the Charismatic Ladies Fellowship, and they had invited up a lady from Tulsa who they hadn't seen in a number of years, but she was supposed to be very gifted, and she came up, and everybody that she laid hands on and prophesied was sitting in the pastor's office with tears running down their eyes, saying, I'm so depressed, I can't hardly stand, I've been thinking about killing myself. And there were 13 ladies there, or 12, or I can't remember exactly how many now, but these ladies were all. And so this prophetess had laid her hands on them and prayed for them. Just the ones that had gone up and got hands laid on them. And so we joined and we broke the power of the false prophet and commanded the spirit of suicide, depression, suicide, sadness, and heaviness to come out of them and loosened God's power and his peace into them, and they all got delivered. And then we begin to call all the other women who got hands laid on them, had them come in. Lots of them we prayed over the telephone. All of this because somebody did not discern that spirit in this prophetess. Okay. Now, let's look at, in the New Testament, let's look in Revelation chapter 2. In the message to the church at Thyatira, verse 18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like flames of fire and feet like fine brass. I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, your perseverance, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and beguile my servants to commit sexual immorality. Now, the word there is fornication, porneo. And if you go back and you look in the Greek, it means both sexual immorality and idolatry. And they are both so closely tied together. Where you see one, generally you will see the other. And to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know I am he who searches the heart and mind. There, God says, is called on this church because they're allowing someone to work with a false spirit and not discern it. And he has, God says, I have this against you. So you have a responsibility to discern the spirits. You know, 1 Timothy 4:1 says that in the latter days, let's look at that. In the latter days, that many seducing spirits will go out. Now the Spirit expressly says, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrine of demons, speaking lies with hypocrisy and having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now these are the false prophets. I speak from experience. I have to be very careful what I say on the tape. But I remember one young lady who was highly gifted from God, and she had a tremendous ministry. The thing that gave me a check in my spirit one day, she said, I knew that she'd never been baptized in water, and I asked her, when she said, well, I'm waiting for the Spirit to witness it to me. And I mean, I went on tilt. You know how sometimes the machine just goes tilt? I said, well, that is a commandment of God for obedience. I mean, it's in the Scripture. I mean, you know, there it is, right, him. She had been baptized in a church that sprinkled like I was. And when she prophesied, she said, I knew that she had been saying that she was going to get it done, then all of a sudden, and she was going to come down here, and she kept wanting to come down here, and when she got halfway here, the Spirit, she told me that the kids got sick and she went home, but then she told me later that the Spirit had witnessed she wasn't supposed to come down here. And I believe that. And then as she prophesied in church, it did not witness to me. And so I told the pastor I thought that she had a false spirit. And then she was in error, but she could not see that she was in error. What had happened was a seducing spirit had seduced her and had branded her conscience with a hot iron on the area of baptism and on several other areas that she was in. And she was beginning to try to control the people around her. She withdrew her prayer group from elder oversight. Her husband was the chief elder, and so he was providing elder oversight, but she withdrew it from the church. And it was sad. Eventually, it ended in disaster. It ended in disaster. I'll stop there. But the point I wanted to make was that here was someone who started in the Holy Ghost, but she got seduced by an evil spirit of pride. She got puffed up, and she got seduced. And when she did, it branded her conscience. Now, there are a number of things, so I'm going to stop now, and I'm going to give you some points on which you can judge. If you have an open spiritual revelation in which an angel appears to you or a voice speaks to you, people, I tell you, don't seek after voices. Don't seek after open revelations of having angels appear to you. I'll always remember once I was watching Kenneth Hagin minister, and several people brought this elderly lady up to him. And Brother Hagin looked at her. And they said, Brother Hagin, we won't. He said, stop. Let me tell you what's happened to this lady. And he looked at this lady. And they had one person on either side sort of holding her there. And he said, 10 years ago, you heard Brother Oral Roberts say that God had spoken to him in an audible voice and given him direction for his life about a certain matter. and you decided that if God would speak to Oral Roberts, that by God she ought to speak to you. And you begin to seek in prayer for God to speak to you in an audible voice. And the devil accommodated you. Now, you've been talking to the devil for 15 years. It's driven you crazy. You're in the mental hospital. Said your father said your family's carried you to have Oral Roberts lay hands on you, have Jerry Savella lay hands on you, have Kenneth Copeland lay hands on you. And he named four or five others I never heard of. He said, all these people laid hands on you. Now you're coming to me. And what I want to know from you is, do you want to get well? You want to let those voices go? The little lady said, no, I like it just like it is. He said, that's what the Spirit said. And so he passed on. He didn't pray for her. He prayed for the next person. I mean, what had happened to that lady? She had become deceived. And that deceiving spirit had seared her conscience with a hot iron to the point that she thought it was God. Now, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can break that type of deception. The Holy Spirit can break it and give you a spirit of repentance. I will speak a little bit more about the situation I was intimately involved in. The group of elders confronted this lady in her error, and she began to cry and saw and said that she saw the error. And she began to cry, and she asked repentance. She asked God's forgiveness, said she would repent. And on her way home, that demon spoke to her, said, you're going to lose your ministry. Everybody's going to laugh at you when you get up. Those folks put witchcraft on you. How dare you say that I'm not God? You're going to lose your ministry if you deny me. And she had a choice to make then. She had to decide whether or not she was going to walk with God and give up the, or whether or not she was going to continue in deception. She continued in deception. Another lady I worked with was on a deception. She taught a Bible study in the bar. And they all gathered around the bar and drank beer and studied the Bible. And she prophesied and was accepted as a prophetess. But she said she could see that none of the prophecies were coming true and everybody's life was all messed up. And she said she knew something was wrong, but yet she did not repent and turn away from it. It had such a tight hold on her. And one day, at Brother Mac McCoy's house, when Brother Joe Williams came, and it was a day that Brother Williams pointed me out and told me that I had Indian heritage and a number of other things I didn't know about, and prayed for me to get set free, this lady walked in. And God spoke to her in an audible voice to her and said, you're under deception. He said, I want you to repent and turn away from your deception. And gave us chapter and verse for her deception. She got up and announced that God had shown her that she was not a prophetess, that she'd been listening to a demon, and she asked forgiveness for all the people that she may have led astray with her prophecies. She asked him to forgive her that she was not a prophetess and that she would not prophesy to anyone anymore. And she sat on the sidelines for a number of years. I prayed for her a number of times. She has since been restored, and she has a ministry, not as a prophetess. But she was willing to pay the price, and God set her free. Now, what do you do when you hear someone prophesy? God gave me this right over here. Brother Glenn Miller laid hands on me right over there and said, receive the impartation, the spirit, discerning of spirits. And I got up. I didn't think anything happened to me. I drove home. And on my way home, I was listening to a tape, and a brother prophesied on me. And I knew. And my spirit jumped and said, that's the Spirit of God. And my eyes were open, and I could see into the spirit world. And I saw. This went on for a while. That's another story. But if I hear prophecy, I just listen. And God will witness it to me. And that's a gift. It's called a gift of the Spirit, called discerning of spirits. But I do not depend entirely upon that. I listen to the prophecy. I listen to it. and what is being said. Because the Bible says test everything. And you test it by the Word of God. You test it. This is the infallible measuring stick by which you test the Spirit. Let's look at 14:3. It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Does the prophecy edify, exhort, or comfort? That's the primary end of prophecy. Does it bring edification? Does it bring exhortation or comfort? Or does it put you under condemnation? Does it put you under condemnation or lead you into bondage? If it doesn't, pass that test. Okay. There are two companion scriptures that you can write down. 2 Corinthians 10:8 and 2 Corinthians 13:10. Both of these in which Paul speaks to the edification of the church. All true prophecy always agrees with the letter and the spirit of Scripture. Now you have to realize, let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. But all Scripture, written by the Holy Spirit, was breathed by God. Now, if a prophet, he's not going to contradict himself. If the prophecy does not agree with both the letter and the intent of Scripture, the spirit of Scripture, one that's not taken out of context. You know, if you let me take it out of context, I can show you where that you ought to go out and hang yourself. More, you ought to do it today. Yeah. Says Judas went out and hung himself. And he said, and then at the end of the parable of the Good Samaritan, said, Jesus said, you go and do likewise. And then he says, whatever you're going to do, he told you, whatever you're going to do, go do it right now. Now you take those three out and you ought to go hang yourself right now. Now that's silly, but some people will take Scripture out of context. Don't take it out of context. Read it. What is it meant to say? Okay. Let's look at Isaiah 8:19. And here it talks about going to the false prophets. Isaiah 8:19 and 20. When they say to you, seek after those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, there is no light in them. If the prophet does not speak according to this, there is no light in him. Okay. People go to the medium, call up the dead, to ask for advice. False prophecy. People pray that the spirit of grandmother will come and touch them. You do that, the devil will accommodate you with a demon that knows all about grandmother. May even appear to you and look like grandmother. Widows. I have a lady in my hometown who lost a daughter. Good Christian woman. Someone called her and said that the spirit of her dead departed daughter had contacted her and wanted to play her to play these songs. Well, they were the songs the girl liked. They were her special songs. And the mother knew it had to be that girl because she wouldn't have known about those songs. And that poor lady has gone down into deception. I told her, don't you listen to that. That's spiritualism. And I showed her in the Bible in Luke which says that the dead don't come back to talk to you.
Amen.
But she wanted to believe so bad, so she believed. I can remember sitting in the Episcopal Church and listening to them talk about Bishop Pike and how he saw his dead son through the clairvoyant and through the medium and called it the new religion. Nothing new about it. It's been around for 10,000 years. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay. All true prophecy always exalts and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ and gives him complete preeminence. Okay, now let's look at John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Revelation 19:10 says the spirit of prophecy is the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:18 says, in all things that Christ might have preeminence. That's Colossians 1:18. And so we have, number one, does it edify, exhort, or comfort? Number two, does it agree with Holy Scripture? Does it agree with the Bible, both letter and intent? Number three, does it glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and make him preeminent? Number four, true prophecy produces fruit in character and conduct that agrees with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Righteousness comes first. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:22. Let's look at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right. Does it produce love, joy, and peace? Is that what you see in the person when you look at them? Does that prophecy produce that? Love, joy, and peace. Is that the end result of the prophecy? Do you see long-suffering, kindness, and goodness in that person with his relationship with other people? Do you see faithfulness, meekness, and self-control, or temperance in his relationship with God? Is he faithful? Does that produce faithfulness? Because the Holy Spirit will produce those things in those people that he works in. If you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life, if that's a true prophecy for you from the Holy Spirit, and it comes in, it will produce these things in your life. It won't produce bondage and confusion and slavery. It will produce joy, peace, and love that people can see coming out of your life. Praise you, Lord Jesus. False prophets. In Matthew, it speaks of false prophets. Let's look at Matthew 7:15-16. Beware false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Men do not gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. Okay. And so what do you see in this prophet's life? You see pride and arrogance and boastfulness and dishonesty and covetousness. Financial irresponsibility and lasciviousness, immorality, addictive appetites. What do you see? Do you see the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit coming out of the prophet? Now, if the Holy Spirit is working through him on a regular basis, then you should see these things. Derek Prince says, did he come into town with his wife, or did he come in with somebody else? Did he pay his bills when he left town, or did he run out of town and leave a bunch of unpaid bills behind? Did he come over and suggest that one of the young unmarried ladies in the church, or one of the widows, or one of the young ladies in the church, come over and minister to him in the motel room? I've seen all of these things, people. I've seen all these things. I remember one false prophet went out to the old widow's house, prophesied to her that if she gave him her grand piano, she'd have a special place in heaven. And if she gave him that $5,000 she had in a savings account, that God was going to bless her another way. He was a false prophet. And slick that poor old widow out of her money. May God bless him. Just bless him, Lord Jesus, wherever he is today, Lord. You bless him, Lord God. You restore the widow, Lord. Lord, you said that you'd be a husband to the widow and a father to the fatherless. Lord Jesus, I just hold up all the widows now in your church, Lord. I hold them up to you, Lord, and I ask you that you bless them, that you care for them, Lord, that you put your guardian angels around them and protect them from those who would come in like ravenous wolves to tear the flock, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Let's look at, if a prophecy contains predictions concerning the future and they're not fulfilled, the prophecy didn't come from God. That says in Deuteronomy 18:20-22, it says if he predicts something and it doesn't come true, it wasn't God. Now, lots of false prophets will make some very general prediction that would fit anybody. And then they say it comes true. Well, you know it was from God because it came true. That's not true. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says if it does not come true, it was not from God. Now, remember that in latter days, they will be doing lying wonders and great miracles by the false prophet. Sometimes, if it contains correct, you know, you have to look at the result then. Did it promote God? Now remember that the woman with the spirit of divination at Ephesus was able to correctly predict the future. Let's look at that. Let's look at Acts 16. Let's read about this lady. Acts 16:16. Now it happened as she went to prayer, there was a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And you see, everything she's saying is true there. And she predicted the future, but she had a false spirit. And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned to the spirit and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Well, what happened there was, she was following Paul, and she was proclaiming, and she was trying to attach herself to Paul. When he left, she would become the prophetess of the church. That's the way I understand it. And Paul cast that spirit of divination out, although she didn't ask for it to come out. That's interesting. You know, most of the time, you say, God won't deliver you from your friends. But God gives special anointing sometimes. And that came out. She lost it because her masters were very upset that she couldn't prophesy anymore. Her familiar spirit was gone. And their hope of profit was gone. True prophecy given by the Holy Spirit produces liberty, not bondage, not fear or confusion. Let's look first at 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's liberty. You know, God doesn't put you in bondage. He puts you in liberty. Romans 8:15 said God did not give us a spirit of bondage again to fear. So if it puts you in bondage to fear, does not produce liberty. Or 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind. It also says that God is not a God of confusion. So if it produces confusion, bondage, fear, frustration, it's not from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't do that to you. If it puts you under condemnation, it is not from the Holy Spirit. If you feel condemned, hopeless, beaten down, that is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin, but He offers you repentance and hope. Freedom. You can see that your sins are forgiven and that you're moving forward into the glorious liberty of the Spirit of God. If it brings you into condemnation, that is not the Spirit of God. True prophecy always puts fresh life into a spirit, into a meeting, and it does not produce a spiritual dictatorship. Anytime someone decides that they're the only person in the building that can prophesy, they are the prophet. Beware. And so these are the things, the way, and the last thing that you do. So let's look at them again. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Does it agree with the Word of God? Does it give Jesus preeminence? Does it produce fruit of the Spirit in the life of the person who's being prophesied to. Will this produce fruit in his life? Do you see fruit in the prophet? You see the work of the Holy Spirit in the prophet's life. Does it come true? If it does come true, does it give Jesus Christ preeminence and edify him? Does it produce liberty instead of fear, bondage, and confusion? And does it inject fresh life and harmony into the meeting? You look at those things. And then the last thing, does it witness to your spirit? Does it witness to you? Well, you have a check in your spirit. Now, sometimes you'll get somebody who will... We had a little old lady, and she always prophesied love. Oh, she'd get up and she'd prophesy these beautiful, oh, God loves you, and it was all about love, and she'd string scriptures together and she'd talk. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit. There wasn't anything wrong with what she was saying, but just her flesh. She was prophesying out of her own heart. Now, you must understand something. Sometimes a person will get up and start in the Spirit, and they will exceed their measure of faith. They will step out of their measure of faith. And sometimes they will be deceived, and they will prophesy out of their own spirit. I know Brother Coffey and Sister Coffey so well that I have to be careful if I'm prophesying to them, because I want it for them so bad. And remember that your heart is deceitful above all things. Your human heart will deceive you. And if you... I've seen people stand up and prophesy to their friends out of their own heart because they want it so bad for them. I remember so well we had a lady with a proven prophetic ministry come to the church. And there was a pastor there who was pastoring a church that she used to have, that she knew as a personal friend. And the church was having a hard time. And she began to prophesy to him. And she prophesied these wonderful things. But it wasn't from the Holy Ghost. It was out of her heart. But she wanted it so bad that she overstepped her faith. And God is wonderful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He does not condemn you for overstepping your faith. He might correct you. He might correct you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I say to you that we all have a responsibility to discern the spirits. You need to discern the spirits because God expects you to. He says, I have this against you, that you've allowed this Jezebel to prophesy. I have this against you. God has given you in His Word adequate tools, and you can always pray. And God will show you. And all I can say to you is that when you pray for someone who has a false spirit, you pray that God will bless them. That God will open their eyes. That God, and you let the Holy Spirit convict them. Now, if you're in a position of responsibility, if you're an elder or a pastor, then you have a special responsibility to go to that person. If you're not an elder or a pastor, then you have a position to go to the elder and pastor and lay this out before them. And it is their responsibility before God to go to the person. Sometimes it's very difficult for shepherds, for true shepherds who do not have good gifts of discerning of spirits, it's very difficult for them because they love their people, you know. They love those people and they don't want to hurt them. And they don't want to hurt that dear sister. And you can show it, but they don't want to hurt them. And sometimes it's very difficult for them. And sometimes they need a little encouragement. But they need your prayers. They need your prayers. And so if you know someone in your church that's doing that, you need to get out on your knees and start interceding. Intercede for your pastor and the elders. Intercede for that poor person who's deceived. Remember, God loves that person greatly. And He wants that person to turn. He said, I desire not the death of a sinner, but they should turn from their wickedness and live. They should repent and turn. If they do not, then, oh Jesus, it's bad. It's bad. If they do not, then the enemy has a legal right to them. And remember that the enemy wants to kill you as slow and as painfully as possible. That's what he wants to do to all of you. kill you as slowly and as painfully as possible. Give you a cancer. Give you ulcers. Give you spastic colon. Give you migraine headaches. Give you sinus problems. Give you emphysema so that you smother to death. I mean, that's what he's got in mind for y'all. That's what the enemy wants to do to you. You see, he hates God. He fought God once and he lost. And he knows he can't beat God. But you're made in the image of God. The story is told about the young lady who was engaged to the soldier who went off to war. And one day, and she had a big picture of him, and one day she got a letter from him, and he'd found someone in another port. And so he wrote her a Dear John letter and said, and she was so angry, she went home and she took his picture and she threw it on the floor and she stomped on him. Now, she couldn't touch that boy, but she could stomp on his image, that picture, that photograph. Now, in case all of y'all are interested, it says that you are made in the image of God. Now, that Hebrew word image has come down in a compound form today, and is still used. It means to have your photograph taken. That's what it means. You're made in the image of God. The devil can't touch God, but he can touch his image. He wants to stomp on you. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He came to set you free, to set the captives free. Praise the Lord Jesus. He said, set the prisoners of war free.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's read that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the prisoners of war. How did former prisoners of war? Y'all came out of the Jebel's jailhouse, but you know that there's a tremendous number of people still in the Jebel's jailhouse. The door's wide open and they don't know it. And they're sitting in there, they're blind, they can't see. The recovery of sight to the blind. Those blind folks can't see that they're in bondage to the enemy. And to set it at liberty, those who are downtrodden and oppressed, and declare the acceptable day of the Lord. Hallelujah. So today, now, we're going to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to set us free. I want everybody to stand up. It is said that it is written that the brain can only absorb, but the fanny can endure. And I can't remember exactly where that's written. But everybody needs to stand up and stretch a little bit and hold up their hands to the Lord. And let's praise him some. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Come up and down on your feet a little bit. Get circulation going. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Great and mighty is your name, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and we bless you. Hallelujah, Lord God. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I want all of you to sit down now. We're going to have a mass deliverance service. I'm going to bind evil spirits. Evil spirits are wind. The word in Greek for spirit means air or wind. It's pneuma, which means air or wind or breath. They're interchangeable. But the only word left in English for pneumo is a pneumatic tire. That's a tire filled with air. You don't hear that word used anymore because all tires used to be that the tires were either solid rubber or pneumatic filled with air. Now they're all filled with air. So they're just tires now. But pneumatic means air. Pneumonia and pleura, those are all words that go with air. But in the King James, pneumo can either mean spirit or breath or wind. And so they come out of the breathing passages most of the time. They come out as a cough, as a yawn. Sometimes they don't make anything. They come out of your ears as smoke. If God opens your eyes so you can see, sometimes you'll just see smoke coming out of people. They come out to cast out means to to give a quick jerk and vomit. That's what the word in Greek means. That is translated cast out. They shall cast out demons. That word means to give a quick jerk and vomit. You say, where in the world have we ever heard that? Well, if you read when Philip went down to Samaria, evil spirits came out with loud shrieks and cries. I say to you, I told you that if you're afraid you're going to embarrass yourself or lose your dignity, let your dignity go. You can get it back. Let the demons go. Don't sit there and hold them back. Let them come out. Come against them in your mind. Now, don't sit there and pray in tongues. Now, you can't receive and give out at the same time. I want you to receive what I speak out to you. Hear it and come against it in your mind. Set your will against it. Set your will against it and push it out. For the mind is the great battlefield. The soul, the battlefield of the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, and the intellect. First thing we're going to do is I'm going to lead you in an open prayer. I want you to keep both feet on the floor. Don't cross your fingers. Don't cross your knees. Don't cross your hands. You all know that when you were a little kid, you were told if you crossed your fingers, you didn't have to tell the truth. It didn't count if you crossed your fingers. That's a witchcraft sign. Now, the devil says that if you cross your feet, you cross your toes, you cross your hands, you don't have to come out because you don't really mean that. He's a legalist. He's an absolute legalist. Don't want to give him any legal grounds. I want to tell him to come out. Be gone. Say, dear Lord, y'all repeat after me. Dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, conviction of spirit, I do make the following confession. I've sinned against you and disobeyed your word, whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity. I do now repent as an act of my will in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I close all those doors which I've opened to Satan and ask you, dear Lord, to help me renounce all these things and cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the following: the occult, witchcraft and magic, clairvoyance, seances, mediums, fortune-telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarot, card laying, pendulums, all astrology, and interest in horoscopes, and signs of the zodiac. I renounce the heresy of reincarnation, all hypnosis, mind reading, mind control, second sight, ESP, and parapsychology, table tipping, water witching, levitation, body lifting, psychometrics, automatic writing. I renounce astral projection, soul travel, thought projection, and other demonic skills. Renounce all sorcery. Dependence on talisman, such as St. Christopher's medals, Mary medallions, good luck charms, rabbit foots, four leaf clovers, wishbones, potions, amulets, and vow to destroy any on my person, under my control. I renounce all mind control. Power of positive thinking. Positive control salesmanship. And demonic power to impose my will on others. I vow I will destroy any idol to a foreign god, such as Buddhas, gods, Mexican sun gods,
Egyptian
anchors,
pentagrams,
and other abominations
on my person,
under my control.
I renounce all literature
I've ever read in any of these fields.
Vow
I will destroy any such books
in my possession
or under my control.
I will also destroy any objects,
pictures,
signs,
statues,
jewelry,
charts
of
these things
on my person
or
under my control.
In the name of Jesus,
I break all curses,
hexes,
spells,
vexes,
jinxes,
and charms
placed on me from any
occult source.
I break the curse of
illegitimacy
and incest
back
10
generations
over my family
line.
I break the curse of
idolatry
off of my family
line.
I renounce any
oaths
my ancestors
ever
made.
Any
false god,
idol,
false cult,
false
religion.
I renounce any
initiation
right
to any
club,
brotherhood,
lodge,
fraternity,
sorority,
or order,
which is of a demonic
or
witchcraft
origin.
I stop here and
say that 90%
of them are.
I break all
demonic
subjugation,
demonic
soul ties,
or
bondage
to my mother,
my father,
grandparents,
spouses,
ex-spouses,
or
any other human
being,
living or dead,
who's
ever dominated
me
or controlled
me
in any way
contrary
to the will of God.
I break all
curses of
psychic heredity
or
any demonic
hold
upon
my family line
as a result of
disobedience
of
any of
my ancestors,
spouses,
or
ex-spouses.
I break
any curses
of
physical or mental
illness
off
my family line.
I break
any curse
sent
on me or
my family
from
a cultic or
demonic origin.
In the name of
Jesus,
I renounce
every cult
that
denies the
blood atonement of Jesus
Christ.
Every
philosophy
that
denies the
deity
of
Jesus Christ.
Dear Lord,
I confess
I
have committed sexual
sins.
I do repent
and
ask forgiveness.
I confess
I have committed
the following.
Now,
him will stop
at anything the
Holy Spirit
brings to mind.
Repeat it
very quietly
under your breath.
You
need to say
it audibly.
You need to
put it into the
airways, but
very quietly
under your breath.
You don't have to
say it loud enough
for your neighbor to
hear it.
God is not death.
Neither are
demons.
But you need
to forgive
people,
and you
need to
confess
your sexual sin.
If you've
got trouble with
pornography,
got
trouble watching
the television,
watching the
jigglers on television,
got
trouble
fantasizing,
you
got other
uncomfortable
things
that
happen,
sexual
self-gratification,
you
need to confess
it as sin
and ask God
to forgive you.
It says
in 1
John
1:19,
that
if we confess
our sin,
if we confess our sin,
He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I do now accept your forgiveness and your cleansing, Lord Jesus. Satan, I rebuke you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My Lord and Savior. I notify you. I'm reclaiming all areas I've previously yielded to you. I close these doors forever. I claim freedom from sexual lust and sin. I bind you and your host. Command you to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I have another confession to make.
I have not loved,
but resented certain people.
I confess this is sin.
I call upon you to help me forgive them.
I do now forgive.
You've got aught in your heart against anyone, you need to forgive them. You need to say, I forgive. And name them to God very quietly. But you need to forgive. Unforgiveness separates you from the love of God. God says that my arm is not so short that I cannot reach you, my ears so deaf I cannot hear you, but your sins have separated you from me that I will not hear you. You need to confess your unforgiveness. The Word of God says that if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. You're still in your sin. So you need to forgive everyone who's ever hurt you. You need to forgive them and say, God, heal me from it. If it's on your conscience, you need to forgive. If it bothers you, when you think about it, if it makes you mad, when you think about it, it still hurts, and they say, I forgive them. I forgive them, Lord. Bless them in the name of Jesus. And now you need to forgive yourself. Say, dear Lord, I do forgive myself. So many of God's people live in if only. If only I'd done this, if only I'd done that. It'd all be different. You live. Don't live in if only. Forgive yourself. Say, Lord, I forgive myself. Lord, guide me and heal me. In the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. And arose from the dead. You redeemed me by your blood. And I belong to you. I want to live for you. Lord, I confess all my sins. I renounce them all. Come now and be my deliverer. I call on you. The promise in Joel 3:32. Anyone calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Satan, I renounce you. And all your works. I loosen you. From myself. I command you to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now I bind that spirit of rejection in God's people in the name of Jesus. This is not a rejected people. This is God's people. For in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. These are God's people that have been accepted in the Beloved. Rejection, I bind you. Rejection by father. Rejection by mother. Rejection by boyfriend and girlfriend. Rejection by husband, by children. In the name of Jesus, rejection, I bind you and I command you to loosen God's people and be gone. I bind the spirits of fear. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not making it in the name of Jesus. I bind fear. For God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Spirit of fear, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Go!
All bondage spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Bondage to the past, bondage to pain, bondage to hurt, bondage to witchcraft, bondage to fear, all witchcraft, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All familiar spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I loose you from these people. I bind the familiar spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind witchcraft. I bind witchcraft mind control. I bind divination in the name of Jesus Christ. All divination, all ESP, go in the name of Jesus. I break the power of their cult in the name of Jesus. I break all the powers of the Ouija board and the horoscopes in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all these spirits and I command them to leave God's people. Now, sorcery, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Sorcery, bondage to alcohol, bondage to drugs, bondage to sleeping pills, bondage to tranquilizers, bondage to alcohol and marijuana and cocaine and LSD. I bind you in the name and command you to turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. I just bind you. I break your authority in their lives in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Lord Jesus, I break the spirit of stubbornness now in the name of Jesus. I break the spirit of stubbornness in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the stubborn self-will. The stubbornness, the stubborn self-will. For stubbornness is an iniquity as unto idolatry in the name of Jesus. I break it. I bind the spirit of rebellion and witchcraft. For witchcraft, rebellion is a sin as unto witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I break rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ. Rebellion and bitterness. Bitterness, I come against you, bitterness. I break the spirit of bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. I pull the root of bitterness out of these people in the name of Jesus. Bitterness, be gone. Be gone, bitterness. Be gone, rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. All bitterness, all unhappiness, all anger, all rage, all murder, all jealousy. I bind the Holy Spirit of pride. Pride in the name of Jesus. Boastful pride, arrogance in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of arrogance and boastfulness in the name of Jesus. I break your authority in these people's lives. Be gone. Be gone. Fear. Fear in the name of Jesus. I just break your authority. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the spirit of stubborn self-will in the name of Jesus, of stubbornness, of being unteachable. I come against the spirits of familiar spirits in the name of Jesus. I come against the deceiving spirits in the name of Jesus. Seducing spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All seducing spirits in the name of Jesus. All false spirits, all false prophecy, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All deceiving spirits, be gone. All Jezebel spirits, all Ahab spirits, be gone in the name of Jesus. All spirits of perversion, all perverse spirits in the name of Jesus. All you perverse spirits, I bind you in Jesus' name. Let God's people go. Let them go. I come against the spirit of whoremongering in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against whoremongering and lust and perversion in the name of Jesus. I come against lesbian and homosexuality in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Turn God's people loose. Turn loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. I come against the spirit of the transvestite in the name of Jesus Christ. The spirit of peeping Tom in the name of Jesus. You peeping Toms, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I break your authority in his life. Be gone. In the name of Jesus. Go. Go. Lord Jesus, you said you'd send the hornets in to drive out the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Ammonites and the Hittites and the Jesuites in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I loosen the hornets to drive them out, Lord God. Send your hornets, Lord God, and drive them out in the name of Jesus Christ. You said that you would drive them out of the land, Lord. You would send your angel before them to drive them out. Surely, Lord, you've borne all their infirmities and their sorrows and all their sickness and their pain. You were wounded for their transgressions. You were bruised for their iniquities. The chastisement of their shalom was laid upon you. And by your stripes at the whipping post, they've been healed. Lord, I speak healing and restitution now in the name of Jesus Christ.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.